Hello, hello, hello. This is Radio Statler. We're here with Dao and Sandy from Noisy Square, where they're going to talk about techno as activism. guys, take it away.
Hi, everyone. This is Sandy.
Hey, this is Dao. So good to be here in the studio with you.
So I have a typical story. This is actually the first time that Dao and I have met in person.
And we already know each other for like 1.5 years or something.
And we've worked closely almost like every week, right? Or every 2 weeks at least. Like we have
something like that, yeah. During festivals a lot, a little bit less in between, but yeah.
And of course, we're in New York right now, and I love the fact that he rented a bike and has already biked through all of New York like a good Amsterdam person. So it's awesome.
It's a cool city to be at, and it's so different. Like, I'm from Amsterdam originally, getting a community going there of techno activists, and had a great inspiration from the work that Sandy is doing here in New York.
And I'm a native New Yorker, born in the Bronx, raised in Washington Heights in New York, and this cultural mesh supporting the anti-surveillance and anti-censorship community is friggin' awesome. And Dao, I wanted to talk to you a little bit of Noisy Square. Why don't you let them know what it is?
So yeah, Noisy Square is currently a village here. You can visit us in the mezzanine level. But that's the third Noisy Square we're having. Last winter, we went to Hamburg. There was the Congress of the German Chaos Computer Club. But where it all started was like half a year earlier, like last summer, in the Netherlands, where there was a big controversy going on around the Ohm Festival that happens every 4 years. And people got annoyed seeing that we have the year of Snowden now. We know we are in a very tight spot as circumventing a security community. We have a lot of work to do. And then there's this festival that's being sponsored by one of the biggest security companies in the Netherlands. Basically, our enemies on a lot of fronts. And we wanted to discuss this problematic issues, and the organizers were not too open to it. So we thought, what are we going to do? Are we going to boycott this thing? Are we going to have like a shadow festival? No, the best thing, I think, and a lot of people with me, thought like, let's do a good village to discuss this kind of topics on the field itself during the festival. And so we did, and we got a lot of help from a lot of great people like the EFF and Access and OpenITP. They supported us from overseas, and a lot of Dutch and Belgium and German groups got involved as well.
So techno activism, their Monday in Noisy Square kind of launched around the same time, and they're kind of like sisters or cousins. And I think that why they were formed and what they focus on is really important. So, Dao, maybe you can talk a little bit about, like, what's the goal, like, in terms of bringing different communities together and, like, how that's playing out in Amsterdam.
So, yeah, one of the things that we really want to do is diversify the community. Like, the problems we're facing these days, coming to security and coming to surveillance, are not exclusively tech problems. They affect the whole society. And if you want to bring a solution about, then you have to have these communities involved as part of the solution as well. I personally work a lot with journalists. We see a lot of journalists working overseas, like in Africa, in Syria. They are being targeted in a heavy way, and they have too little of knowledge about how to defend themselves in like the cyber area. But if we want to help them, we have to understand who they are, the ways they work, how they communicate with their people, so we can provide them with solutions. So far, what we've seen is that many of the solutions and the many talks we do are like in the group of the tech community, and they come up with solutions that are really good for them, but don't necessarily apply for the wider community, are not easy to use, or don't really understand the threat models. Like, most of us never have been to Syria, never had to deal with people on the ground there, and how to protect their sources. Yep. So how are we going to help them? That is what we aim to change.
Yeah, and I know, like, here in New York, there's a big creative community, and one of the things that we have been trying to do is bring in different professionals that are kind of missing in this space. So, like, UX designers or communications people, or, you know, even people that do marketing, right? Because at the end of the day, in order to do the outreach that we want to do and get the amount of people that we want using these tools, we need to diversify the talent pool, right? So yeah, I think at least here from, you know, the work we've been doing in the last year, like, it's actually made a difference. Like, I think that, you know, we see more regulars coming on a monthly basis that wouldn't necessarily fit, like, the mold of the typical thing. So,
oh, it made a huge difference. Like, I can already say, not many people are aware of this, but so what I started off with, the Ohm Festival in the Netherlands, has changed fundamentally ever since we did the Noisy Square. They now much more acknowledge that they need to diversify in a way, and they acknowledge that they can no longer work together with the very governments that encroach on our basic freedoms for funding or for sponsorship in that way.
Right.
That changed a lot with Noisy Square, and I think what you can see, you will meet the Noisy Square probably in the future, bigger tech festivals, but in between you'll have the TA3M, the Techno Activism for Mondays here in New York, organized by Sandy, by me in Amsterdam, but also in many more towns. Like, how many towns are there now?
On and off, depending on the month, it's about 21 cities.
21 cities, right.
And yeah, if anybody's listening, if you would like to be part of this network and start an instance in your own city, like, get in touch with us, because we would love to have you as part of our community.
They have to email you, right?
No, they can email you.
Either which way, OpenITP has a good page on it. We have the Noisy Square page where you can definitely find us. And seeing, like, somebody phrased it today, and I really like that, or Ella Demaxion did it before. Ella Saita had a good talk at Noisy Square at Ohm, saying basically, guys, you need to realize we're living in a state of war.
Yeah.
And we need to get our act together. We need to think about tactics. And most of the tactics that we have been dealing with the last 20 years are not sufficient anymore. And we need to take that to the next level together with community guys, like, I don't know, designers, artists, and people from the different communities to really make that work.
Yeah. So, Dao, can I like to share personal stories, because I think it says a lot about the community, especially if you're helping organize it. Can you talk to me a little bit about how you got involved in the privacy world? Because I would love to hear that.
Oh, that's a good one. How did I get involved with that? I'd say that one of my main reasons to become active was going to the CCC Congress 2 years ago, that was 2019-C3, where I heard a talk of some great people doing work on the new privacy regulation in the European Union. Mm-hmm. And, well, privacy regulation, law, stuff, European Union all by itself is super difficult. So I came from the room more bewildered, knowing less than I ever did before. And I really thought, if this is fundamentally going to change the privacy laws in Europe, and not even me and, like, most people here don't understand what is going on, how are we ever going to fight it?
Yeah.
So I think we saw a really good action going on with ACTA before.
Yeah.
And especially the people in Poland did a really great job there, like, demolishing that law, like, burn it to the ground.
Yeah.
And that kind of set up for me, like, I need to become more active in it to explain people, like, what is going on on a more diverse level.
Right.
And also because I experienced that the tech community is nice, but it's very homogeneous in a way.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of the same people there.
So I think I can speak for both of us. One of the goals of these initiatives that we're working on is really to also be an entryway to people that want to get involved in the community and want to volunteer or learn more about the issues. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that. Like, what are some of the volunteer opportunities, or what are some of the ways that people can get engaged? What are the things that are missing, you know?
Yeah, there's, I think there's so many work to be done. Like, it's even hard to start, where to think what we need to do. But it's just, I think we have to get away from the idea that it's basically only about writing good code. Like, good code, good encryption is important. Implementation of encryption is super hard. There are only a handful of people who probably can do the job do right.
Right.
But then the usage of code and the explanation of how we're going to use it and use it in programs, that's like a really wide area. You have UX, you have designers there, you have people explaining it. But also awareness raising.
Yep.
It's only quite recently that, thanks to Snowden, absolutely, like, a lot, we have people coming to, like, Bits of Freedom, like the organization I work for, which you can subscribe as the EFF of the Netherlands. We have, like, people calling in every day needing help with their computer, needing help with their security. And that's not rocket science, you know? So a lot of people should be able to understand, like, a basic things, like getting a good browser and stuff like that.
Right.
A lot of people could help with that.
Yeah. Also, I know that for the work that we've been doing at OpenITP, translation is really important. So if you are bilingual or trilingual or how many languages you speak, and do you want to, you know, maybe even volunteer just for an hour a week, right?
Yeah, translation is great.
There, Transfix, like there's a the
Transfix,
platform. Yeah, Transfix, there we go. You can actually log on there and find some of the projects from our community. So even if you only have half an hour to volunteer, that's also another way, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't write code myself, but I translated now like 3 projects to Netherlands, to Dutch. And developers super happy when you do that for them, because immediately if you translate like some piece of software to Dutch, you'll have like a new audience of like 50 million people immediately. Like, and for most languages, the audience would be much bigger.
Yeah. And also I would add with that, like even cultural understanding, I think part of the pool of knowledge that we're trying to bring to developers is also an understanding of how things are maybe interpreted, like localizing the tool so that it also is intuitive to that local population, right? Mm-hmm. So if you have cultural knowledge, right, that's another way you can contribute.
And I think what a lot of people underestimate, they download a piece of software, they use it, but they don't are not aware that they can actually get in contact with the people who are building it, that it's a human work, and they should do that. They should, like, if you use some kind of program and you don't really like how it works because maybe it's ugly designed or it's counterintuitive, tell the people who do it.
Right.
And it will help them a great deal, and it will be a little effort for you just to write an email and a screenshot, maybe like, hey, change this.
Yeah.
And that way the program can be better for a lot of people.
Sure. So I'm going to change the conversation just for a second, because I'm actually really curious about this. So, you know, our community is pretty international and quite big. What are some of the impressions that you're having? This is DAO's first time in the U.S. Like, I'm curious.
My impressions?
Yeah.
Oh, my, well, I got a lot of impressions of you, of course. And my main impression is, man, you're loud. Americans are loud.
This is
true. And you have to be loud in this city because it's a loud city, I guess. But, geez, I wouldn't know really where to start. It's fast. It's high-paced. I think that a little bit more zen would do a lot of good, like,
probably,
you know, hanging back and looking at stuff from a distance. And but it's hard when you're in a project, and I know a lot of people feel like the ground is burning, you know, we have to act now, we're losing so much time to this NSA stuff and we have to run, but it's good to look at it from a distance.
Right.
And I saw this great project by Nathan Freitas from the Guardian project.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And he does amazing presentations, which are basically just meditations, like his presentation, meditation. So he would go over a subject and think about it and criticizing and not being too sure about yourself. So also allow for failure and be a little bit, more uncertainty, I think, would be good for a lot of people in general, because it makes you understand how other people don't understand you.
Right. Totally understand that.
So how about yourself? You're having like all these foreigners now here.
Well, I mean, I think I grew up in New York, and I think having diversity for me is really important. It's a kind of core of who I am. And, you know, one of the things we just came back from before this interview, we actually had two sessions, one where we brought women from the space and another one that just focused on diversity issues and exploring possible solutions. And, you know, I think it went really well. I was actually really excited to see, like, the amount of people that showed up. And
there were a lot of people.
The amount of effort and energy that they put into these conversations. And, you know, this makes me very hopeful for this space. Like, just even the open source and, you know, privacy security. Because to see people that passionate about these issues gives me hope. You know what I mean? Instead of making me depressed. So that's been my good moment or my good reflection of the day, like my inspiration, I guess, you know?
So, and what is next? What are we going to do next? Like, do you have plans? Like, we're going to have a presentation tomorrow on diversity. And where
at 4 o'clock,
at 4 o'clock, like we touch upon the topic, that's very important.
Yep.
So my question for you would be, next year, TA3M, where do you see it going?
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that I started to realize this year is, instead of having the meetups focus on technology, I've started to focus on particular groups that are affected by you know, the issues that we're working on.
Like what kind of groups?
So we had, most recently, we brought in Muslims from New York City that have been targeted by, severely targeted by the NYPD. And so they shared their stories and their experiences and some of the concerns they had. This company Monday, we're actually going to have a meetup focusing on the LGBTQ community and talking about like some of the surveillance issues that they face here and abroad, right? Mm-hmm. And I think those have been much more fruitful. Like having the technology in the background, but having people in the front ground has been amazing. I mean, I think it's also easier for people to understand and get involved in the conversation because maybe you don't know how to code, but you definitely know what surveillance feels like for your particular group. Yeah. And I think that is consciousness raising, because at the end of the day, like, my passion for this work is not the technology. My passion for this work is trying to raise consciousness, having people understand that this is something that's important and we should pay attention to. So, I don't know. Hopefully in a year from now, we're going to have people from more diverse communities involved and helping out and more tools open to and prepared, right? Because that's the thing, receiving volunteers, especially volunteers that are not, that are new to open source, requires actually effort from the tools. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we can also help the tools, you know, kind of with that bandwidth so that they can receive them better too,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Talk to me about Amsterdam in that regard, because I know, like, I'm so eager to go to Amsterdam and kind of see, yeah, like, tell me about the community there.
So the community in Amsterdam and the Netherlands in general is really wide. I'd say we have like a very strong history, like one of the first internet access provider is based in Amsterdam.
Sure.
And around that we had a big squatting community,
yep,
that would operate like what we now call hackerspaces from squatted houses.
Yeah.
But that was like 20 years ago we're talking now.
Yeah.
And that has ever since evolved into the more normal hackerspace we have now, which are kind of like more in anti-squats, I would say, or rented places. So it's more about tinkering with the tools and less about using the tools for politics.
Right.
And there is a little bit of a, like a dividence line, I would say, in the Netherlands with people who say tech is cool just to play with the tech, and other people say, like the other older groups might more say, like tech, any form of technology and code is fundamentally political,
right,
and you should perceive it as a political tool,
right,
and also use it for political means.
Right.
I think with Noisy Square and TA3M, I'm much more standing in that line.
Yeah.
And try to encourage always people to be more critical towards the tools they're using and how they're using it. And I think that's also something that I think is very interesting, how that happens in the US, seeing that you have like a huge Silicon Valley and like all these startups and companies,
yeah,
who just seem like money machines,
right,
but kind of neglect the more political part of what they're doing.
Right.
You know, having what are the privacy implications of starting a business like WhatsApp?
Right.
I don't know if they ever thought about that. I don't know if it's anywhere in the idea that you should even think of that.
Right.
And I think that is now becoming more of a point in the Netherlands for sure. A lot of people talk,
yeah,
about it. We have more conferences around this topic now popping up.
Yeah.
Still, of course, we don't have like even a tiny fraction of the development community you have here in the US. Like, we,
right,
don't have a Silicon Valley or whatever.
Right.
So it's harder to make a difference on a big scale.
I think that's really important. I mean, I think the ethical question, or just like the, you know, what you were talking about before, the meditation and taking a step back and actually looking at it philosophically and kind of saying, well, what impact is this going to have? Like, what impact do I want it to have? I think that's really important, and you're absolutely right. I don't think enough people do that.
There's a lot of academics working in this field.
Right.
And you'd be surprised like how many papers and brochures and, I don't know, books are being written on surveillance technology and the implications,
right,
on a more philosophical level,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
of the tools we're using. And there seems like, also, I don't know how it's here, but in Amsterdam, there's like a disconnect between those two communities, like the academics,
yes,
sitting in an ivory tower making publications that,
yep,
will cost you like $80,
yep,
to buy.
Same here.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that, I think, for what I would aim for with the next TA3M or Noisy Square is more also to bridge that gap, because they're doing,
yep,
great work and they have great theory about connectivity, about network effects and stuff like that,
right,
that we can use like in our day-to-day work,
yeah,
to have more diversity in groups.
Right.
But we need to somehow bridge those.
Yeah.
Worlds.
I have two questions for you. Let me start with the first one, right? The first one is, you know, I'm sure a lot of our listeners are either part of open source projects or, you know, building tools, etc. And, you know, you're a really good outreach person. Like, I'm really always amazed at how good you are at outreach. And I think it's important for us to share some of that knowledge with open source projects, right? Because I think a lot of, from my understanding, a lot of the problems that open source projects have is that they're unable to bring in a crowd, like a crowd of volunteers, right? Like, mm-hmm. the actual number of successful projects is very low. What are some of the advice that you would give projects that are trying to cultivate a community?
So basically what you have to know, what I always experience, is that volunteers take up a lot of work.
Right.
You know, you think like somebody's coming into space and going to do work for me, but actually you got to, especially in the beginning, you got to work for them.
Right.
Because they're going to spend free time and they don't know what the traits are, you know, they don't know how to find their way. So you have to invest in them. I think a lot of people forget that. Just a volunteer walking into space and say, hey, there's the corner, do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. But you have to sit down with them. And also what is very important, and what we did, I think, very well with the first Noisy Square, is try to get to know a person really well, find out what their hobbies is, what their likes are. Because if they have some kind of, I don't know, special capability, maybe they're super good with editing footage or something, and that's something they really like to do.
Yeah.
Why would you have them stand behind the bar if, you know, that's a rare thing to do? So try to find out what people like to do, and if they can do what they like to do inside your project, where it's as an addition to the project, it's much more likely, of course, they will do it for a longer time and have fun at doing it and really adding something to it. So also, like the first Noisy Square, I think most people assigned themselves a task,
right,
which they really liked, and carried it through like the whole event,
right,
without me having to do a lot for that. And last but not least, I'd say that it also goes a little bit for THVM. If you have people that don't know anybody, keep an extra eye on it. Like, a lot of people come to a new space, not just because they think the project is important, but they also might really want to get to know new people.
Yeah.
You know, it's also a social thing. So don't assume that your project is only about writing good code,
right,
but it's also about, you know, having fun together and having a good laugh. So go out for drinks after you're done or something, and really engage with people, and don't be afraid. They're probably more afraid of you because you know everything and you're a part of the group.
Right.
So yeah, taking care of newbies, like taking care of people new, that's really important, I think. And people neglect that very often.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, are there any funny stories, or not even funny, but just any stories you want to share about Noisy Square, like personal happenings? Or even THVM in Amsterdam.
Funny story. Oh, well, your questions come a little bit of far left field.
I know.
I have to think so hard about it.
It's my ADD mind.
I don't know. It's like, I don't know. I'm not so funny, so I'm not good at funny stories. But anyway, what I really like, and what moves me, maybe a moving story is good.
Yeah, moving
story. It's like when you, I said a little bit earlier, if you really tell people they can come in, they're welcome, and they can pick up a task they like. Like, I had a fight with an Italian guy coming to the Noisy Square who was angry at me because we didn't provide food for the volunteers. And I just told him, like, I'm not a good cook. You know, I don't like cooking. And I got already so much to do, I cannot also start a kitchen. And maybe because he was Italian, but I don't want to put that on him, is that that is fundamentally important. If you're going to have volunteers, you got to cook for him. I'm going to do it right now. Do you have money for me? I said, yeah, we have some money. So then he went to the shop and he cooked like for 3 days.
That's awesome.
And I found that really nice because we had the space for him and we were super happy that he did it.
Yeah.
And it was something he liked. And we had it more often, you know. He had a girl coming to me like, hey, I want to buy a t-shirt. And I said, sorry, t-shirt shop is closed because we don't have volunteers to sell t-shirts. And he said, can I do it then? And then from that moment on, she was selling t-shirts, like, for, I don't know.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, that's really warming in a way that, for me, it's cool that I was able to provide such a place where people could step in. But the best thing is that there's actually quite a lot of people in this community who are very DIY, you know?
Yeah.
They understand that there's nothing is provided for. They can set it up themselves and just do it.
Right. Definitely invite the chef to New York. Tell him he's always welcome.
And he was good. It was really delicious. People not even like from other villages were lining up to get his food.
Yep.
Yeah, that was great.
I think for me, I mean, I there are several stories that touch me, but they're kind of the same, and that's just seeing very young people coming to TA3M, or, you know, when we had the Noisy Square and we sent out an announcement, like, asking about, like, oh, what this is, and just seeing kind of, you know, these young people that may still be in college, like, with this, like, interest and like sincere passion of learning more, even though it's so like privacy security world seems so enigmatic to them, right? And I think that's been really inspiring, right? Like seeing this, like, and seeing things from their perspective, like a fresh perspective, that's been really amazing, I think, here in New York, right?
Yeah. So I was also wondering, like, the sense of urgency.
Yeah.
Like, again, Snowden, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how does that influence the community here, you think?
Yeah. I think it's just put our issue, like, the issues we focus on as a community on more people's radars. Like, they're listening more, and they're searching more, and they're wanting to learn more. And I think that's, I mean, after Snowden, I think, like, our attendance, you know, maybe doubled, you know? Yeah, I think people are just really now interested. Now they understand that it's an issue. But I think the one thing with New York is that, you know, New York is a community that has a lot of people of color and minority groups. And, you know, New York in the 70s and 80s was really tough, right? It was right after the Civil Rights Movement. And an understanding of surveillance has always been in these communities, right? So I think that the people that you're seeing now that are like, it's on their radar, are people that probably from communities that didn't have to experience that on a regular basis, which I think is phenomenal. I think the more people talking about these issues, investing in these issues, you know, that's our future. Like, that is our future, because we need this to be a mass movement. Like, we need this to be like a global movement for us to really have an effect. It can't be, you know, the 1,000 people or how many people are in the community. That can't be it, right?
Yeah.
We can't seclude ourselves. Like, we have to bring in a diversity of people, even people that we may be like, I don't know if I agree with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, that's for me, like, I think that's the future. But yeah, like in New York, I think that was the case, you know? And also, like, I think even in communities that have been surveilled, like, extending bridges to them and inviting them, because, you know, I am, as you know, like, I grew up here, I'm Latina. Like, sometimes it's very intimidating, the tech world, especially open source, seems very intimidating to people, because it's hard if you don't see people that look like you, right? Mm-hmm. And I think we've been really good at opening the door and extending, like, you know, kind of a hand and being like, this is affecting you, right? Like, come, you know, like, here in New York, I'm part of a group called Stop NYPD Spying. And one of the things we realized was that the NYPD was actually targeting political activists, right? So we got, like, a coalition of political activists together. And, you know, interacting with those activists that ordinarily don't even know, like, don't even understand that if you take your phone to a demonstration, that's probably not a good idea, if, you know, depending on what your situation is, right? Was really empowering. It was really empowering because it's not hard, but if you don't know how to get that information, it's hard. Yeah.
So, but now you're talking, and we're mostly always talking about having people coming into the tech community,
right,
like activists learning about not bringing your mobile phone. But do you also see the tech community changing and more thinking about these people?
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have some stories about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, the last event that we had where we had the, you know, community leaders from the Muslim community here in New York come, I think it surprised a lot of people. It wasn't that they weren't aware, right? Because, like, tech people, especially that are in privacy insecurity, have always been aware of these issues. But I think hearing the personal stories from these people, I think was a little bit shocking. Like, wait a second, this is happening in New York? Wait, on this level? And then, you know, like what you were mentioning before, tech people are really good at developing tools. Sometimes, like, the front end part is a little bit hard.
Yeah.
So hearing those stories, I think, definitely, I mean, I had people come up to me afterwards and being like, this is going to help me make a better tool because I didn't know this or this, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah.
But it's hard, right? Like, one of the stories I always found very a good example was that I heard of a group of people who went to Syria with like a lot of laptops that had Tails, you know, the security and privacy aware operating system installed on them.
Yeah.
And they were doing workshops there to tell people how to use Tails and also how to do video editing. And like it was meant for reporters working in Syria. That was the beginning of the civil war.
Yeah.
And they did like a 2-week training there, hands on. And then they returned a month later to see how they were doing and if they needed help with anything. Turned out that all the laptops that they brought there were wiped and had all Windows XP installed on them. Because the people there were just like, we cannot really work with like Tails and Ubuntu and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And on the one hand, you are inclined to be really angry, you know, as a tech IE. Like, we invest in this, we make this operating system. Why not use it? You're putting yourself in danger. We put so much effort in it.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you're thinking like, where is my blind spot?
Yeah.
What am I missing?
Yeah.
That all my good intentions just fall like on that ground.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We had some of the tech people here. We organized like a session where the tech people were training some of the activists, like the New York-based activists. Mm. And it was really, for me, I mean, you know, it's always perception, right? But like from my point of view, it was, there were moments where you could see that certain things for the tech people were very common sense, right? And they're explaining it. But even the first step in that common sense thing was like so overwhelming for the people that are trying to learn it. Like, wait, go where, you know? And I think, I mean, and that's human nature, right? When you work in a field for so long, certain things become common sense, right? Yeah, or not common sense, but you know, you do it so regularly that you don't even realize how difficult it can be for somebody else. Yeah. So yeah, I think what you're saying is actually very, very true.
Yeah, and one of the things that I think is really important to get across is, like the other day, a guy I met, he said, like, let's forget about most of the people. We're never going to be able to teach them proper encryption and security.
Right.
So if we invest in that, it's like going to be a waste of time.
Yeah.
I kind of, on point, like, then you're really missing that if nobody is able to use encryption properly, the few people that are able to do it are going to be like sticking out like a sore thumb.
Right.
You know, they're going to be very easily, heavily targeted.
Right.
So seeing how to extend, and I think this is one of the core things we try to achieve with both THVM and Noisy Square, is also maybe on a selfish level, is if we want to save ourselves, our sorry asses from the NSA, we got to save these other people.
Right.
Because there's otherwise no point.
Right. I mean, you know, some of the listeners may not even know, I'm sure in this audience everybody did know, but the NSA was actually keeping track of the people that were downloading Tor, right?
Yeah, yeah, not even downloading it, but searching, using Google to search for articles about Tor.
Right.
It's actually, is there another dial-in line here? I would love to take questions from
I know.
We're just chatting here away.
Yeah.
So, but I think, like, okay, so I have my good and my bad days. I think today I'm a little bit of an off day. I didn't sleep too well. And then I always think, like, the world is really burning. You know, we really, this is a war going on. I'm so happy to see so many bright people here. Like, great talks happening at Hope, like all the whistleblowers. And that whistleblowing is really, like, front center stage right now at many of these conferences that we go to. How to build on that? And nobody can look into the future. But we have seen before that things that are really important at one point can wane away and people tend to forget about it.
Yep.
I think like Greenwald is doing a great job by keeping this like in the news all the time by slowly editing articles, getting it out. It helps us a great deal to keep attention to the subjects we find important or dear to us.
Yep.
But how to go from here and really build something that's secure, that's hard. You know, it depends on the time of day. If I think that we're going to make it or not. Like, how do you feel about that?
I feel really positive.
Yeah, but you always feel positive about it. Why do I even ask?
I think they're telling us it's over. You guys, thanks for listening.
Okay, so I'm negative, you're positive.
That's not true.
The
you're
truth
positive
is somewhere
too.
In the middle. And thank you so much for having us, Radio Statler.
Actually, we have a question.
Oh, you have
from
a question.
The IRC. They would like you to explain a little bit more about what exactly Noisy Bridge is.
Noisy Bridge. Noisy Square.
Yeah,
Noisy Square.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Noisy Bridge.
It's okay.
we like Noisy Bridge, though.
Sure, go ahead.
So Noisy Square is basically a haphazard coalition of people who think that the tools we build and rely upon every day are fundamentally political. And we should question our own political views, the politics we use in our everyday communities, because we got blind spots, we got contradictionaries that keep us from fighting in a way. And we have to fight. Like I said earlier, the world is burning. We have to discuss tactics. And so far, we're not doing a really good job at it. GPG is already broken. Like, I don't know, for 20 years, nobody but a select few can use it. Right. Tory is still hard. Tails is still hard. And we need a more diverse community. We need to have awareness about the political issues revolving around it. And Noisy Square kind of says there is not enough discussion, there's not enough debate at these different festivals where we're going to. Also, looking at ourselves from a distance and saying, like, we're going in one direction, but we're not questioning ourselves and our motives well enough. So that's what we're trying to do in Noisy Square. And probably if you ask anyone going to Noisy Square or being involved, they will have a different answer.
Right.
So I encourage you to do that because, you know, it's a diverse community.
And just like from just like a practical explanation, like at different conferences, they're like little pop-up festivals, right? It's like kind of like a pop-up festival where we have sessions and we have these conversations. So, yeah.
So, yeah, we're on mezzanine level and you should just drop by and chat up to us. It's a little bit hard because it's a really crowded place.
Yes.
So if somebody has an amplifier that they want to donate to the square, we'd be really happy.
Yes.
Somebody saw LED lights, if they want to bring them back.
I found them. Oh, they're back.
Oh,
yes.
Cool. That's so awesome. And other than that, yeah, you are welcome to contribute. You know, we set it up, but it's not finished. So jump right in. And if you see anything that is needed that would make it a better place,
yeah,
we have open sessions as well. You can put yourself on the schedule if you think there's a thing that really should be discussed.
Yeah, if you go to wiki.hope.net,
you'll find
a link to the Noisy Square schedule and everything else. So,
okay. I hope that answers the question.
They're saying thanks for the explanation.
Okay,
so I think that solves it.
Cool.
You guys don't actually have to leave now, but if you want to, that's totally fine.
I could go for a drink.
A coffee, yeah.
A coffee, right?
Yes.
All right.
But it was awesome. Thank you for having us. Yeah. We had a great time.
Anything else that we need to announce? Like, we have a drinks.
Just tonight, a bunch of us are going to be at Stout Bar at 5:30. And also on Monday, if you are in New York, please join us for the LGBT surveillance event. It's going to be at ThoughtWorks, 99 Madison Avenue, 15th floor. Come by and say hi.
Cool.
All right, awesome. Thanks, guys, for coming out. That was Dow and Sandy. Everybody loved it. Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you for having
us.
Yes.
All right, bye.